It's Monday, May 19th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 949, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, at GoDaddy, you can get 32% off by picking up a domain or for $2.99. Let me start that over. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain for $2.95. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, you can tell it's been a week since I've been in the chair and doing this show. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hey everyone, welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to today's show. Got a great show lined up for you. Lots to share, lots to talk about. If you're brand new to Geek News Central, we want to welcome you. And thanks for being part of our family here. And of course, that's what it's all about. It's going to spend some time with you here chatting at the beginning of the show. Then we're going to get into a little tech and I guarantee we're going to have you entertained throughout and give you lots of great information. A 949th show. This is pretty good. We're pretty close to 950. We'll break that here very shortly. Then the march to 1000. But again, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and really check out all the great content on the website. That way you can stay informed of what's happening. Our writers have been real busy putting out a lot of great articles. Of course, we had the new media show this past Saturday with Ewan Spence out of the UK. Talked to him for about an hour. It was a great discussion. And then lots of great articles up, including a underwater audio waterproofed iPod shuffle review. And if you do a lot of water sports, you're going to want to read this article And it's amazing what this company's been able to do in waterproofing devices that, near my counts, probably spent about 20 hours between the ocean and swimming pools over the past couple of weeks. So lots of great articles over at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we want you to get subscribed while you're on the website as well via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. You'll see that there in the second column of the website. We want you also to get hooked up with the newsletter of the show. Really, the newsletter is where I'm able to basically email blast you guys at the end of the show with all the links to everything that I cover. And, of course, those show notes will also be up on geeknewscentral.com as well. But it's also a reminder to you that there's a new episode on the street. You can follow me, of course, real easily and email me as well. At Geek News is the place on Twitter. And then, of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Send your comments about the show. Feel free to send me links to cool stuff that you found, and people have been doing that quite a little bit. Also, you can see the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on the Tech Podcast channel on those devices, and soon coming to the Amazon Fire TV as well. So excited about that forthcoming change. But I got a great lineup for you tonight, and a little bit of change here in the studio. What I did over the weekend was I've been trying to eliminate clutter, and behind the mic here, this side of things, there's always been a couple of tripods. So now everything is off tripods. I was able to get enough stability on the main camera that I'm pretty pleased with it from a position standpoint. So I'm a little bit closer angle, but I'm real happy with everything so far. And my wife's happy because that big bulky tripod is not there to be tripped over anymore, and the kids and stuff can get to the printer easier and so forth. So a little bit of change here in the studio. I actually cleaned up a little bit and took some pictures. I'll have that link up in the show notes so you guys can see the behind the scenes of the studio. Had some people ask me to give a tour. I'm not going to do that at this time. We'll do that on the new media show upcoming this coming Saturday. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on here locally in the studio. Of course, this show is brought to you in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And you know, GoDaddy's been here as a sponsor for a long time, and they've really taken care of me. And matter of fact, let's see if I can find it. Where did I put it? I thought I brought it in here and set it down. Must be I left it in the counter in there. But check came today, so that's the most important thing in keeping the lights on here. And that check wouldn't be possible without you guys picking up great products at GoDaddy. We definitely want you to consider picking up a domain name. We got them for $2.95. We've got the 32% off code, and you can find really all those codes for everything that we do here and that we offer for you at geeknewscentral.com. /GoDaddy. So I got that queued up here, and I'm not completely organized tonight, but go 32 off one is the code for that 32% off. Go 25 off five is 25% off your order, including new top level domains. 50 host seven is 50% off new hosting plans. 50 WSB seven is 50% off the first 12 months of business website builder. And again, the $295 geek, the 20% off renewal code sadly died. I tried it the other day. It didn't work for me. So that code has been pulled, is run out, and I'll do what I can to get you guys another renewal code. So that's just the way things are working right now on the renewal codes. We'll keep them, keep plugging away, trying to get some for you. But that's the status on that. But the 32% off, man, it's huge. Huge from a savings standpoint. And we definitely want you, again, consider picking up a domain name. Some of these accounts or some of these promotions include a free domain name. And what you need to do is when you get over to GoDaddy, there's a button up at the top that says offer limitation. And click on that, and it gives you exactly what the limitation is of the offer and gives you the constraints, if there are any. And usually they're not. They're just pretty straightforward for exactly as I have stated them here. But many times I'll throw in a free domain name with a service that you pick up. So I just keep you advised on that. But again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, pick up a product and share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. And I would be most appreciative if you do that. It's kind of a crazy, crazy week here. This is graduation week. My mom and my sister. And my sister has never been to this house, flew in this afternoon. They're in the living room chit-chatting with the kids, and so everyone's having a good time. And as you guys know, I missed last Thursday's show due to a big event. We had like three or four things stacked on top of each other. So again, this week, Thursday, is my daughter's graduation, high school graduation, so I will not be here for a show this coming Thursday. So you've only got me again one time this week. So we'll try to make the time together the best we can and special. But I've got a lot of good stuff for you tonight. I really do. But busy, busy here just from all the festivities and everything that's going on with that. But we did have an interview. Rob and I had an interview with you and Spence this past Saturday on the new media show. So definitely check that up. That's been posted. And also, I started using a new product. I supported a Kickstarter about a year ago for a product called Watt Vision. And I have been totally enthralled with this thing now for about 3 or 4 days. And for those of you that are watching, let me see if I can bring this up here on the website. And you can see what's going on. It's actually a device that attaches to your electric meter, and it watches the dial spinning. When a little black mark goes by, it basically reads it. There's a LED watching, and it flashes and it counts. And then through the magic of their software, you basically put some information about the manufacturer of your meter, some multiplier information, and then it basically tells you how much energy you're using. Now, before I fired the studio up tonight, the house. And of course, we've been cooking and a whole bunch of stuff. And the kids got the TV on. So we are running about 2260. Is that what that's, or about maybe 2300? 2300 watts was the total load before I turned the studio on. So when I cranked everything up in the studio, and here's the thing, this is the thing that really kind of blew me away. I was expecting this number to be much, much bigger, and much to the chagrin of my wife. She's like, it only went up that. She was expecting this huge bump because I showed her last night what happens when we run a dryer or run an oven, how much the increase is. And it's really extreme. Like an oven adds like 2,500 watts. Dryer, same thing. And but the studio, you put on about 800-900 watts. And so it's pretty steady at this point. But one thing we've been seeing really since the beginning is at about every 2 to 3 minutes, we get a spike for about a minute. And it's a significant spike. It's about 2,100 watts. And it's consistently every 2 to 3 minutes, and sometimes even more. And what I think it is I think it's my refrigerator. I think my refrigerator, and you guys know that I have been, we've been bamboozled here for a number of years why our electricity bill is typically $100 to $150 higher than anyone else in our neighborhood and our friends. We don't run AC. We run ceiling fans, and I know those take amount of power. We've been watching that too. But we've had, and my wife has always blamed it here on the studio, and I've always thought that maybe that was the case. But we've been proved absolutely wrong so far, and everything that we've been seeing right there was just a spike up to 5,000 watts, and then it went down. So right back down to 3112. So some of these spikes last a couple of minutes. Some of them are short-lived, but we think something's going on, and I'm really pointing my finger at my refrigerator at this point because there's really, we can't think of anything else. Now, we're going to do some more tests, and we'll let you know what the culprit is, but the refrigerator shouldn't be kicking on every 2 minutes. There's something here that's driving my power bill up, and we think that may be it. It's just often enough that over time, the average, it just drives the average up. So, you know, power here in Hawaii costs about 36 cents a kilowatt. And, you know, I'm just watching my bill, ka-ching, 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 you know, it just, it's pretty amazing. So right now, running at about $1 an hour. And when I didn't have the studio on, it was like 60 cents an hour for electricity costs. And this would be in the evening when you'd be using the most power anyway. During the day, I was looking at things. So when I left the house today for a while, it was down around 800 watts. And I said, okay, there's room for improvement there. We can bring it down that way too. But again, we continue to see some of these spikes. And we'll figure out exactly what's driving this thing. Because I can see this over a long time average. So it's really cool. Again, wattvision.com. You can order one for yourself. I'm in love with this thing already. This is going to really help me figure out what has been driving my power bill up for all these years that even the electric company couldn't figure out. They blamed it on this room too. And I know that based upon my previous calculations, I figured that this room was costing me about $70 a month. Based on current usage and what I'm seeing here, because we usually have the studio turned up for about 5 hours twice a week. So let's say $5 a show, that's times eight, that's 40 plus four weekend shows. So that's another 20. So 60. So we're pretty close to that $70 or $80 mark that I was thinking of before. And sometimes I have to, you know, leave the Mac Pro on and it, you know, it drives some extra, you know, 200-300 watts itself when it's processing videos and so forth. So we think over that, you know, into account and everything else, we're still running high. But I'm sure you guys could care less about my electricity bill, but this is something I'm completely fascinated with. And I'm really going to be able to get a handle on things here. We'll let you know what the culprit is before we get done. All right, what else? I think that's it. I have an announcement to make. We had a UK contest. We had a winner on that. There's another UK contest kicking off So Sam's running that over at insider@geeknewscentral.com. So I think that's all I've got. Don't forget, you know, sometimes you can check in, and sometimes we got the drop cam running here in the studio, so you can check in what's going on here from time to time. I don't have it up all the time, but geeknewscentral.com/studio. When we're not live, that little drop cam is running for most of the time. Sometimes it's not. But anyway, tonight, the ceiling fan's on absolute high. There's high humidity, no trade winds here in Hawaii. So trying to keep the studio cool while we do the show. All right, this is enough. I need to get into content. I have a huge stack for you tonight. And I want to start right off, boom, with the big announcement that came yesterday about, and it was rumored earlier, late last week, that AT&T was looking to buy DirecTV. And this really is quite troublesome from a standpoint that now you've got Comcast buying Time Warner, and you have the folks at AT&T buying, buying DirecTV. There's going to be a big change here afoot, and we're going to be in a situation where, and let me show you this little chart. Let me bring this up for those of you that are watching. The percentages before the merger, before any merger, Comcast had about 21% of the market. DirecTV had another 12, maybe 18% of the market. Dish had maybe tops 10. Time Warner by itself, maybe a little over 10. Verizon Fios, very small sliver. Cox, a very small sliver, maybe 4 or 5%. Charter, maybe 4 or 5%. So here's what's going to happen when these mergers happen. So now you're going to have Comcast controlling 32-33% of the marketplace, with AT&T probably 25-26%. Then you're going to have Dish with probably its same percentage, maybe 10-12%, 13%. So, and the other carriers relatively unchanged. So you're going to have AT&T, who number one is largely a mobile provider, does provide long distance service. They do have landline internet service, and now they're going to be control of satellite television. Folks, that's a lot of power. A lot of power. And I don't know about you guys, but there's going to be no gain for consumers. You know, AT&T is going to spend $48.5 billion to buy DirecTV, if approved. Now, AT&T is promising, now this is a joke, to make more broadband available to more U.S. homes. Standalone AT&T wireline broadband will be available where it is now for 3 years. And DirecTV will continue as standalone satellite TV also for at least 3 years. AT&T promised to respect the FCC's net neutrality rules that were struck down by federal court in January. Now, that's a change. So basically, they're going out and saying, hey, we're not going to throttle anybody, which is new. So maybe they're not going to be a toll troll. But AT&T's trying to sell this as being consumer-friendly and in the public interest. Now, I think this deal will probably have a tougher time than the looming Comcast Time Warner deal. You know, cable operators typically don't overlap in coverage areas. So when you have DirecTV, it's going to be the whole country. And AT&T has television service in parts of the country already. You know, some of the appeal of the TV services that both AT&T and Verizon offers that they're an alternative to cable and that that doesn't require a satellite dish. So how is customer choice going to be retained? The net neutrality thing here is kind of an interesting move, but I think they're, you know, this is nothing new. They made the same statement back in February. Most of the broadband offerings is horrible. They only reach 15 million customers right now with broadband. And, you know, I don't know. I think this is bad. Now, the crown jewel of DirecTV's offering is its exclusive deal with the National Football League, NFL Sunday Ticket, that lets DirecTV subscribers view all out-of-market football games for $240 per season. Bump up bump that up to $330, and DirecTV subscribers can also stream those games on their PCs and mobile devices. So what happens to Netflix here? You know, the AT&T acquisition gives DirecTV increased incentive to get NFL deal done, for sure. But same ticket might be able to be offered on AT&T Uverse. Once they're joined, it's one product, right? So I don't know. It's got the same troublesome things that's going on with Comcast, except AT&T went for a wireless, you know, basically a satellite. Now that is not cheap to put satellites up and run those transponders. That's some serious overhead and ongoing lift costs and everything else to get stuff to space. You know, AT&T has also indicated they may want to get in the set-top box space. So does that mean they're going to compete with Netflix? And that's a good question. I don't know. So what do you guys think about the potential for the merger? Love to hear guys' feedback. And do you think having so limited choices is going to be good for the country? Comcast, AT&T, Cox, Charter. You know, that's just and maybe Google Fiber if they roll out into more cities. You know, not a lot of choices there. So here's my appeal. Google, come to Hawaii. Please, please, please come to Hawaii. Give me choice. Give the rest of the country choice. Please spend some money and roll your service out nationwide. Just don't pick all the cities. Let's go. Let's go for the big kahuna. And let's have some serious competition in this space. That's going to slow down companies like AT&T and Comcast for being such domineers in the space. I don't know. I'm not a big, you know, you guys know I'm not a big AT&T fan. And that goes way, 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 way back. All right. So I think I've said my piece on that. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your comments. Please do so. And I'd like to hear your feedback for sure. YouTube is making a pitch for Twitch. Of course, Twitch is the live streaming company that basically does all the gaming. Twitch started in June 2011, claimed 5 million users, gaining 5 million users a month. In 2012, it was up to 20 million. By the end of last year, that number jumped to 45 million. Broadband service provider Sandvine says that Twitch now accounts for 1.35% of the internet traffic during peak hours in North America. That's more than HBO Go's 1.24%. And all Twitch is people are watching folks play games. You know, live streaming video of people playing video games. You know, League of Legends can easily attract tens of thousands of live concurrent viewers at a time. So if the deal goes forward, it will be Google and YouTube's second attempt to invest in the gaming business. In 2012, Google led a $35 million investment in Mashima, a YouTube network that also specialized in video games, about video games. So the thing is, this is a market that can be undone. All someone's got to do is come in with a different service. If people bail from Twitch and move to a new party, it could be the next best thing, especially if some folks have heartburn against Google and YouTube. We'll see. But a lot of guys hang out and watch live streams as other people playing video games, which to me, it completely baffles me why people do that. I don't get it, to be honest with you. I got better things to do than to watch other people play video games. Now, we did get, I should have brought this up a little earlier. Let's see if I can load this. You know, the way my computer's acting right now, I would not be surprised if we don't have a blue screen of death here. I just clicked my email client, and it just now loaded. It It's crazy. What is going on? I'm going to the next article while that's loading. Hey, the FBI, and I don't know what their stunt is here, but the FBI just issued wanted posters for 5 Chinese army officers. So, you know, if you're, you know, nothing about tension escalations. I don't know if the U.S. government can say too much about stuff going on with security right now, but the FBI is now circulating wanted posters for 5 officers of the People's Liberation Army. These guys have been charged with some serious cyber crimes. These are those Chinese hackers you keep hearing about. And so this is an interesting move here. Wen Zhu, Sun Ka Lung, or in other words, Jack Sun, and they're all wanted for hacking all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I'm sure these guys are going to be traveling to the United States or going to some country where they can be apprehended not. But they've been charged with conspiring to commit computer fraud, accessing computer with authorization for the purpose of commercial advantage and private financial gain, damaging computers through the transmission of code and commands, aggravated identity theft, economic espionage, theft of trade secrets. So there's lots more information on FBI.com. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's in their Cyber Wanted section. All right, Twitter is considering buying SoundCloud. And I thought, oh, man, nothing like a way for a company to come in and tear things up. If I was a podcaster over on SoundCloud right now, I'd be crapping my pants because new owners mean new direction, means cancellations of services potentially, or maybe expansion. But I don't know if I'd want to roll the dice if my sole point of presence was over on SoundCloud, and it just doesn't, it's kind of a weird combination. It really is. I don't fully get where they're going with this, but that's the news. Got an email here from JP. He says, hey, Todd, have you heard about this? 5-year Google Voice shutdown. So basically, these people are claiming that Google Voice is going to be shutting down. There's been more rumors. I haven't heard no confirmation on that. It's not in the news at all. Also, I got an email from Dave. And again, this is not the end of the show, folks. I forgot to read the emails at the beginning. Dave sent me, hey, I haven't listened to your show in a while. Maybe you've already talked about it on the show, but why don't you buy PV solar system for your house? I think the break-even time is about 5 years. It'd be a no-brainer investment unless there are specific reasons why a PV solar system can't be installed on your house. No, we're in a great position for it, but it's having the extra $35,000 to $40,000 to put it on the roof. Plus, we're really seriously thinking about moving within the next year. We could have done it a couple of years ago. But really, you know, when you're looking, when you live in Hawaii, and my wife has not worked, she's worked some part-time stuff here and there, so we don't have a second full breadwinner in the house. I'm the guy. The podcasting business is great, but, you know, just have to figure out if it's in the budget, and it hadn't been. So, so that's the reason why we haven't put PV on the house, Dave. That's one of the primary reasons. But anyway, I've got a link up to an article he sent me. I'll have that up in the show notes. Also, got an email from Jeff talking about the Xbox One without Kinect, and an article that was up a few, basically 4 or 5 days ago. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you as well. But those were the emails that came in from between the last show. Let's go ahead and move on to the next tech topic for you. There's a pretty cool article, and if you're not watching the show right now, you'll want to go to this in the show notes. It's some signs that we may see in the near future. And let me read just a few of these to you here so that you can get an idea of the angle that they've taken here. Push to temporarily suspend your holographic companion. Thanks for your understanding. That would be a button in a business. Another would be a road sign that says drones watching. So I guess we could expect that at some point. Entrance to a highway. keep left lane free for driverless cars. And there's a little sign, attention, driverless cars only. So left lane for driverless cars. Then there's a picture in a bathroom. It says, all selfies taken with your smart contact lenses will be shared in real time with the proper authorities. Warning for smart contact lens owners. So I guess they feel that if people are taking a taking a selfie picture in a bathroom, they be shared in real time. Another thing was, it looks like an X-ray scanner in a airport. Says, caution, do not enter wearing exoskeleton. One I thought was kind of funny, jetpack rental, and some disclaimers, use at your own risk and so forth. Then there was a warning would come over a mobile device. Oversharing warning, alert number 2. You've exceeded your weekly social sharing quota. Issue was already reported. So basically they're trying to stifle speech. Then there's a big sign, important security information. No synthetic biology allowed. Please turn off all kinds of computer brains or chips. Any neural hacking and brain hijacking intent will be liable to prosecution. Ask at check-in desk for more details. Then there's a meat market with synthetic burgers, driverless taxis. You guys get the feel here. So will we have these kinds of signs in 20 years? Your guess will be good as mine. Maybe the synthetic meat thing has some potential. I don't know. Hey, in science news, there's a pretty cool trailer for Interstellar. And this is a movie that's coming out in November. A lot of people are excited about this thing. Not a lot of details. The plot, Earth is dying. And they need to travel somewhere to get something to save Earth. One of those type of deals. Except it looks like it's maybe a one-way trip, not a two-way trip. But anyway, pretty cool trailer on that. I'll have the link up for you to check out. Also, Elon Musk is saying that SpaceX is making progress towards Mars colony. So they're continuing to plan. It's not moving as fast as he wants it to move, but they are making progress. Also, a Kickstarter raised $150,000, and they're hoping to contact a 36-year-old NASA probe this week. So basically, members of the group have traveled to Puerto Rico, where they're going to use the powerful Arecibo Observatory to beam a message to the International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 probe, ISEE-3, which was launched in 1978 and ceased operations in 1997. This particular satellite does not have a computer on board, but it does have sensors. They're going to try to wake this thing up, if it can be waked up, and communicate with it and see if they can get control of the satellite. They've signed an agreement with NASA. So this will be pretty cool. We'll see where this leads. Also, if you're having trouble explaining net neutrality to family members, there's a great graphic on Engadget. And really, it kind of shows what I've been talking about here. It shows all our houses on one side, the ISP with the toll gate in the middle, and then all the sites we're trying to reach, Amazon, Netflix, Level 3, Geekness Central, Google, and so forth. That talks about how this toll troll situation is really working out. So if you're trying to explain it to someone, this is a pretty good article, pretty good graphic, sums it up really in one word. And even though we should have a ATM attached to the sign that they're showing there, because we're putting money in this into the toll booth, our own self, to get access to the net. All right. Boom, boom. There's a pretty good article on Above the Law. Talks about a response to a patent troll and a company that basically has had enough. Specifically, Life360, I guess, is the company that's fighting back. And they sent a pretty aggressive reply letter back to their lawyers and promptly got sued. So I'll let you check that out in the show notes for yourself and get a little chuckle here. If you've been having problems with the internet, there's some problem with a transatlantic cable between the European Union and the United States. The EVE website is down, and basically there's some fiber issues. And the basic undersea cable. So don't know if they've been able to reroute that, but definitely having major trouble in this in the internet space right now. So we'll see how long this lasts. Radio RDIO is now streaming in 9 more countries. They've expanded into Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, Singapore, Greece, Croatia, Cyprus, Slovakia, and Slovenia. So that's pretty good. So if you're in one of those countries and you want to get a radio subscription, you can at RDIO.com. Over on New York Times, let's talk about facial recognition. And this technology is going to get to the point where you're going to walk into a store, business, to a government facility, and it's going to scan your face, and it's going to know if you're friend or foe, if you're wanted, if you owe taxes, if you have a ticket that you owe, lots of different things. And it's going to be so good that you're going to have a hard time hiding from it if you are trying not to be seen. And the biometric industry is already a multi-billion dollar industry. And there's a bunch of people that are really pushing facial recognition in a big, big way. And something I think we should all be a little bit concerned about. But there's a huge, huge article about this over on the New York Times. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to review and to check out. Okay, so Verizon has light up improved XLTE data services in 44 states. I tried to look for the list, and I think Verizon took the list down. So let me try this again. Is this page back up? Shows the phones that can be used on XLTE. And okay, so let me try, that didn't work earlier. So let me try the actual PDF link again. And it's still, it is coming up. Is it? Is it loading? Yeah, it is. Okay, so let me look at this list here and see where we've got new coverage. Let me see if Hawaii's actually covered. That was, yeah, Honolulu is. Interesting. So XLTE is basically a doubling of their 4G LTE bandwidth. Now with faster peak speeds and greater capacity than before, if you have an XLTE capable device, you're going to be able to take advantage of this. So the states that this rollout, again, 44 states and lots of different municipalities as well. Probably all the major cities have been covered in this rollout. But anyway, I'll definitely check out the list. And I think it's interesting here is if you have the right hardware. So let me look at the hardware a little bit. They got a custom filter on this. Droid Mini, iPhone 5S, LG G2, Samsung Galaxy S5, the HTC One. What else is in this list? Droid Max by Motorola, Samsung Galaxy X4, Moto X. Let me look and see if any of the MiFis are covered. And let me go down here a little deeper. Oh, yeah, the Jetpack I just purchased recently is covered as well. So a lot of phones will support this this new increase in speed. So if you've seen improvements, I haven't seen any here in Hawaii for sure. So let me know how your speed goes and using your mobile device, okay, if you're in one of those communities. Article over on the Register. Apple and Samsung are said to be hammering out a settlement. And we may be near the end of the patent wars between at least those two companies. So we'll see where this leads, who's going to pay what and how much and when. And maybe we'll get all this litigation, at least for this week, behind us. Time will tell on that one. There's also a great article over in TechCrunch talking about GoPro. And boy, I tell you, I'm excited for these guys. They filed for a $100 million IPO. With 2013 revenues of $985.7 million, up 87.4% from the year prior. So they filed their S-1 document, and they're only going to raise $100 million. So it's a pretty small offering. And, you know, they've had, they're profitable. They had $60.5 $7 million in profit in 2013, so they're raising a modest amount of money. You look at the amount of money that Twitter and so forth raised, and they didn't even, and I don't think they've earned a profit yet. So anyway, that'll be available. I'd like to get some of that stock. I really would. They're doing some amazing stuff. AT&T has also launched first HD voice handset for voice over LTE. It's the Samsung Galaxy S4 Mini. So AT&T's first markets for HD voice over its LTE network will go live on the 23rd of May. And the carrier still plans to launch a service and will offer compatible phones on the same day. And I don't have a list of the cities, but HD voice, I don't know why you would need HD voice with a mobile phone, but that is what they're touting in this article. Hey, the FCC chairman I had to laugh, really. In this guy's comments, he said that the agency needs to learn from Google Fiber. Tom Wheeler said the FCC could learn a thing or two from Google Fiber. In personal remarks that Wheeler will deliver in a congressional hearing tomorrow, he points to Google's strategic approach to building out its ambitious broadband service as something the commission should take inspiration from. Google's developed a checklist for cities that want to participate in the Google Fiber project of steps that can be taken to ensure easier access to the existing infrastructure. So I don't understand why he wants the FCC to follow this. The FCC does what they want. They don't have a strategic approach to anything. It's just, you know, they just blast. And they often don't listen to the business community. So it's kind of a weird comment for him to make. Now, if the FCC chairman said, hey, we need Google Fiber to be throughout the rest of the United States, that's a good thing, you know, to say that. But I don't understand why the FCC needs to follow Google's lead. It doesn't. Someone tell me where that's at. I don't fully get it. I'll be honest with you. I don't follow their thought process. Hey, you know, in Fukushima, there is, you know, obviously some issues there with the radiation. And people are scared to eat any of the food coming out of the Fukushima area. But tech giant Fujitsu has started its own large-scale organic lettuce farm in the Fukushima prefecture in a project that blends agriculture, industry, and medicine. This vegetable plant grows a healthier, less bitter variety of lettuce as low in potassium and nitrates. The vegetable farm was set up in the clean room of a renovated semiconductor fabrication plant, and is totally free of chemicals. So this is kind of cool. Basically, reutilizing space. You know, I noticed what these guys are wearing. They look like they're worried about radiation, but they're definitely growing food that they'll be able to sell on the market that'll come out of the region that will be radiation free. It's kind of an interesting move on their part, but link will be up in the show notes on this one. Okay, moving on. Are you guys familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy? Apparently, there's a trailer that has a pretty amazing soundtrack. People are raving about that. I have a link up in the show notes for you. Those of you that may know what this is, I'm not familiar with this at all. I don't know if it's a movie or a game. If it's a movie, I'm missing out. Definitely want to watch it. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. There's also a new chip implant that's no bigger than a grain of rice. It's powered by a wireless breakthrough. A new method, and this is really some incredible stuff here. That's going to be able to be done to people that have pacemakers and a variety of other things. But this chip, again, it's no larger than a grain of rice. It's going to be a new method of powering medical electronics like pacemakers and nerve stimulators. And it could mean new possibilities for treating illnesses and migrating pain, which this was reported in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. A team led by Stanford electrical engineer Ada Poon constructed an electrical device smaller than a grain of rice that can be recharged wirelessly by a power source the size of a credit card. The breakthrough discovery in wireless power requires roughly as much energy as a cell phone, exposes subjects to radiation levels well below the threshold of human safety. famous last words. But there's a penny, there's the device. So pretty pretty small. But better have a battery. You know, I don't think the battery's going to last very long on that bad boy. You got to get some electronics in there too. You know, what, you got to be on the charger every 15 minutes or so? You know, maybe not. Hey, the FBI is reporting that more than 500,000 computers in over 100 countries were infected by a sophisticated malware that lets cyber criminals remotely hijack a computer and its webcam. Authorities said as charges were announced Monday against nearly 100 people worldwide. Authorities said 97 people suspected of distributing the malicious software called Black Shades have been arrested in 16 countries, including the software owners, a 24-year-old Swedish man. So this guy was selling this this software, and he generated more than $350,000 in sales. And they have some numbers here too on the amount of money that they think that they stole from people in hacking machines. So not a lot of details on how to remove this thing or if it's already covered in malware applications or not, but definitely a lot of people got rounded up in are in the pokey tonight over this malware. It's a pretty good pretty cool video that's CNET's covered. I don't know why they covered this supercell. You don't expect CNET to be covering the weather. But it's a pretty stunning footage of a rare supercell. This thing is mammoth, and you get to watch it build and dissipate. Again, very, very cool. Link will be in the show notes tonight. I'm a little bit troubled by an article over on Huffington Post. And I'm not even going to go into the total details of the actual article. The title is, How Much Freedom of Speech is Too Much? And when someone says that, especially on the Huffington Post, how much freedom of speech is too much? You know, none of us like trolls. None of us like people that are abusive. None of us like people that slander. None of us like loudmouths. But, you know, those folks are often dealt with legally. If they slander someone or perpetrate a hate crime, whatever it may be, those folks usually find justice in basically being prosecuted for things that they say that are malicious. And not all of not everything people say is obviously you can get taken to court by, but, you know, so freedom of speech is, you know, something that I very much believe in. And even though I may not like what people are saying, I also understand they have the right to say it, but also there's consequences for what they may or may not say. So, when someone says how much free speech is too much free speech, I don't think there's too much free speech. I think you have to just let it roll. And, you know, people end up in court, they end up in court. But at the same time, I want the bill. I don't want anyone stifling me. I don't want anyone saying, you know, I should be allowed to say whatever I want to say, even though you hear it and you may not agree with it. You may actually leave this show if I say something offensive. I have the right to say it. You have the right not to listen to me. Or I have the, you know, if I say something malicious, I have the person has the right to sue me. I think we all understand what's the, you know, what is good speech and what makes being able to make your point or protesting part of that vocally. But I am just not, I'm not a big fan of anybody that tries to stifle free speech. And the Huffington Post folks are semi alluding to that. I don't know if I agree with their position at all. Microsoft has added Amazon to its enemies list. So Microsoft basically holds a conference every year. And they added Amazon to the list of companies whose employees are forbidden from attending its forthcoming worldwide partner conference. Google, Salesforce, and VMware are already on that list. And now Amazon as well. Am I surprised? No. Not at all. But definitely Google is saying you're not welcome here. This is a little bit troubling here. according to Slashdot, a mysterious disease may be carried by the wind. It's called Kawasaki disease. It's a mysterious condition that results in alarming rashes, inflammation, and sometimes early death. It sickens 12,000 children a year in Japan and is suspected to arrive there and elsewhere by wind. Now researchers have narrowed down the source to the croplands in northern China, offered some possible explanations to its cause. So if you're familiar with this, there's a little bit of a some explanation of what's happening, what's going on. And I'll have that link in the show notes for you to check out. Again, it's Kawasaki disease. And any of you, those of you that are familiar with it, I'll have their link for you. Also, a lot of speculation on why Apple's going to buy Beats. And really what it boils down to is everyone thinks it's their live streaming service. They think that's the reason for it. They could probably care less about the headsets. It might be an ancillary part of the business, but what they're really after is the streaming. And I think we all could probably make that assumption ourselves. But the analysts have been looking at it really, really deep, and they feel that's the case. All right, there's new eye-tracking glasses that show others what you're looking at in real time. Researchers and marketers often want to know what catches your eye, whether it's plays on a basketball court or just a new shampoo. They may have an easier time figuring this out with a new set of eye-tracking headsets. So basically you put these on and they subject you to whatever test they want, and basically you get tracked. They're not cheap. Marketing companies aren't just going to give these to anyone. They're almost $15,000. Netflix is making some predictions on what television will look like in 2025, and they're basically saying it's going to look like Netflix. He says there's going to be a lot more set-top boxes and options, and everyone's going to be in the game, and it'll take some time for it to kind of flush out, but it's going to look a lot like Netflix. Obviously, that's what they think TV is going to look like in 25 years. I hope it doesn't look like Netflix does now. I hope I'm talking to my TV and it's finding what I want to find in real time and not being told I have to wait or pay $1.99 to watch something. Comcast, you know, has been pretty quiet about broadband caps, but they say they're going to slap all their customers with data caps. Not right away. We already know that they have some sort of a data cap already of like 300 gigs where they start throttling people, but they've used some very choice words in hearings and so forth. But the bottom line is, and they want us to pay them by the gig. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. 500 gigs and today, okay, so Comcast moves an incredible amount of traffic, right? Just an incredible amount of data. So for them to say they're going to throttle you or make you pay more when you have 350 or 500 gigs. Let me just give you a quick example. And I this is real simple to figure out. You take 500, let's say 500 gigs, and I want you to multiply that by 2 cents. So what that is, and that's it's probably a realistic figure of what it costs them potentially to move 500 gigs of traffic is about $10. And that's considering that they may be paying 2 cents a gig. They're probably paying a lot less. In some instances, they may not be paying anything at all. So, you know, you pay $60, $70, $80, $100 for your cable bill, and they're going to throttle you at 500 gigs because you've used $10 worth of the service. The math doesn't add up. It really doesn't direct relation to the true cost, the actual cost of bandwidth. How many of you are using the Allcast app? Well, the Allcast app can stream media to seemingly any set-top box you might own, but it hasn't let you stream to most Android devices yet. Today, though, the barrier's been come down. Kushka Duda has released Allcast Receiver, an app that turns any supporting Android gadget into a streaming target. So, pretty cool. Have it on one, send it to the other. Very, very slick. Devil's in the details. I'll definitely be testing it between Android devices to see how it works and whether it can work when someone's far away or not. But anyway, that we'll get you some more information on that. Hey, today SpaceX Dragon has made its return to Earth from a space station after a month-long visit. It's hard to believe it's been up there a month. But the Dragon landed Pacific Ocean almost 300 miles west of Baja, California, only 5 hours after it left the International Space Station. The cargo was released by Steve Swanson, NASA astronaut and station commander, who controlled the 58-foot robotic arm that pulled the ship away. It's from its Harmony module. So anyway, they've been able to recover the capsule, and they've got 3,500 pounds of gear to unload that they sent back. So we send some up, they send some down, including a lot of trash. So the April mission was SpaceX's third of at least 12 under a $1.6 billion resupply contract with NASA, and the fourth is scheduled to launch this coming August. All right, this is going to wrap me up in content tonight. Sorry, I got kind of off to a weird start on the show tonight. That happens when I'm not banging the shows out twice a week. Hope you enjoyed. I got to be here not on Thursday, but we'll definitely have something on Saturday, a new media show. Again, daughter's graduating on Thursday, so hey, dad's got to do what dad's got to do. I know you guys will give me a pass on this one here, podcast pass for a day off. And really, it actually does me good to take a day here and there. It's good for my mental awareness. Maybe not good for show execution when I step back in. But after this break, what's going to happen then is I don't plan I am taking a vacation. And my vacation is going to start on July 3rd. And July 3rd is a Thursday. I'll be flying out to start my vacation, joining my wife in Riverside, California, getting in there on the 4th. And then we get back a week later, so potentially miss 3 shows in July. And it's just, it's going to be good to disconnect. And that's why I plan on doing minimal email that week. So miss this show, and then we'll be here for almost a full month before I head out on a 1 week scheduled vacation, a little over a week, basically, because the show's 3 episodes missed. But that's just the way it has to be sometimes. All right, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to fire comments to me. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Thanks, everyone, for being insiders. Those of you supporting us with your contribution each month, whether it be 6.7 cents a day or $2 a month, or as high as $20 and $25 a month for some of our top contributors. It's greatly appreciated. It goes a long way. It really, really does. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. You guys take care. We'll see you back here a week from today on this show. The new media show will be on Saturday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.